Milton Rivera, some of the private jets at Flight Star, and got his picture with Stevie J handing over the 4 Super Bowl tickets for the Connect FM Jetaway Getaway. Milton recalled his excitement the morning he heard his name on the radio.
Oh, my God. We started screaming, jumping around, so happy.
And signing up to win at
Super Fancy.
Pretty cool to listen in.
Fancy.
And your favorite team is in the Super Bowl, right, Milton?
Patriots, yeah.
Final thoughts for Connect FM?
Thank you for giving me the opportunity to win that prize, and I appreciate it a lot.
You're listening to FM Talk Loud and Clear. We are blessed to have two incredible individuals on the phone. He is a member of the National Academy of Sciences with the likes of people like, Bill Gates, Steve Jobs is in there. Only 260 civil engineers in the world in the National Academy of Sciences. President of VersaBar Inc. from Houston, Brother Johnny.
Stevie J, how you doing, buddy?
Good. He's one of the most incredible icons of our time. Hall of Famer. He's one of the only humans on Earth to ever win a Super Bowl ring as a player, an assistant coach, and a head coach. He is Mike Ditka from Indianapolis this morning. Good morning, Mike.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Well, we're great. Has the energy level changed at the Super Bowl? It seems I can feel it from Champaign, Mike. There's a lot of buzzing around Indy these days.
Well, you know, I'm not out there that much. I went down to Louisville last night for Paul Hornung, but the city, they expect 150,000 people in this city. So, I mean, you can see the traffic right now. They've done it. I have to say one thing. I think the city has done an outstanding job so far. With everything I've seen, I think everybody's very pleased. They've had to reroute a lot of streets and turn them into one-ways and things like that. But so far, it really seems like everything's flowing pretty good. I think people like it there. You know, everything is self-contained. It's a little bit like New Orleans in that sense. Everything is right together, and we have some good restaurants and things like that. So I really think, you know, for all the people who probably said Indianapolis shouldn't get a Super Bowl, I think they're going to pull this off pretty well.
Well, I think they hit the jackpot on the weather there in a Mike, too, this week.
Oh, my God.
So that's important.
You guys can't believe it. I mean, it's beautiful. I mean, it's in the 50s, and you know, it's been great. I mean, and I think that's the big thing right there, the weather. You know, I know when they go to New York, it's going to be the same thing. You can catch very, very mild weather at this time. You can catch, 8 inches of snow.
Well, the last two Super Bowls broke the North American television viewing record. So I'm wondering if it'll happen again this year. Is that as many people going to be having Super Bowl parties, Stevie?
Yeah, 9 out of 10 will be watching, according to the latest polling I've seen. A lot going to other people's houses. There's, you know, so much interest in this game. There's billions of dollars bet on the game. There's high interest on all kinds. And by the way, the Patriots play the Giants, but I don't even know if that matters at this level anymore.
Well, it's Boston, New York, and that has a little more appeal, broad appeal. You know, there are 108 million people, I guess they figured out, or so, which is more than a third of every human being in America. So basically, maybe that's why it's $3 million for 30 seconds, Mike. So if you want to tell something to the American people, this is your shot.
Well, Mike, will you be in on any Super Bowl commercials? Is Coors putting any of their...
No, I'm not doing anything that I know of. And that's okay with me. I'm fine. I believe me, I'm fine. I have no problem with that stuff. But you're right. It's a phenomenon. It really is. And it's... I've heard people say, well, because maybe of the location of the two teams, you know, New York and New England, maybe there wouldn't be as much interest nationwide. I disagree. I think there's going to be a lot of interest. And I also disagree with the people who set the odds. I'm not sure where they came up with a favorite. And the last time they played, the high fruit and Patriot offense scored 14 points against the Giants defense. So I only say one thing. If they only score 14 points, they aren't going to win. So I think if the Giants do win, the bookies get beat up pretty good.
All right, so do you like the Giants, Mike?
I do. I really do. I think they played well enough down the stretch. I think they've got enough balance. And I don't care who wins. I like the Patriots, too. I just think that it's going to come down to who can do more. As good as the Patriots offense is, the Giants have proved that they can control that.
Well,
it's going to be an interesting. I hope it's a great game. I think it will be a good game. I don't think it'll be a blowout. I think it'll be a very close football game, 24-21, 24-17, 20-17, something like that. I don't know what it'll be, somewhere in there.
Well, I think it's so important to have a balanced team, obviously, to have a championship team. The Giants have a good defense. Patriots don't have that great a defense, and I think that's key because the defense is out there enough to where a good defense can help you win the game by making a big play. Watching the Saints this year with just a good offense, if we had a bad game, 4 or 5 turnovers, we would lose those games, even though we could score any time we wanted. But the defense has to be able to help you. The Giants have a better balanced team. So I think the Giants will beat the Patriots.
Well,
I think the one thing, John, that the Patriots have played a little better defense as of late. But when you really look at their Achilles heel, it's in the secondary. And I just think they're going to have a problem. And then if they want to do something different in the secondary, well, I think what the Giants are going to do is run the ball on them. So, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. Like I said, we all guess and we're all experts on this stuff. But
the other thing, you know, Mike, I don't know, maybe I'm seeing things, but on these big games, it seems like Eli Manning steps up to another level. At least he has. And he's just, well, you got a weak secondary and Eli in a big game. I don't know.
John, you're right. He's been Mr. Clutch. I mean, his fourth quarter performance and comebacks this year have been unbelievable. But let's go back to last week. Both of those games were decided by what, a special teams play?
Yeah.
Had nothing to do with the offensive team.
That's right.
The team. So, you know, you don't know what's going to happen. And I think special teams could figure big in this game, too.
Now, all right, Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka talking Super Bowl here on this Friday morning, 93.5, 95.3, Connect FM. But, Mike, when you caught your touchdown in the Super Bowl with Dallas, and then you coached the Bears, and now the environment now, I mean, it's the aura has grown. Certainly there was excitement when you caught your touchdown. Cowboys win the Super Bowl when you played for Dallas after you played for the Bears. But the whole thing, I mean, the magnitude of this, could you ever have imagined it would develop into something like this?
Oh, no, I don't think anybody can. You know, it was the biggest thing in the world for us in 1963 when we beat the Giants in the World Championship game in Wrigley Field. And then, you know, what happened in 71 or 72, whenever it was, and then to be able to win one in 85. But, you know, I don't think you think about that. So, Steve, listen, we live so much in the moment. You know, we don't really think too much about yesterday or worry too much about tomorrow. We're in the moment. So, you know, we thought that was the biggest deal in the world back in 85, and it doesn't even come close to what they're doing now.
Hmm. Do you have one of those kind of stage formats somewhere in Indianapolis where they were, like when we were on South Beach in Miami for the Super Bowl 2 years ago?
Actually, we're in a building, and I couldn't tell you where it's at. And there's two sets. One is at the stadium, and I'll be in the one, and I don't want to be at the stadium because when my show's over tomorrow, I'm going right out to the airport, get on a private plane, or on Sunday, and flying back to Chicago. I'm going to watch it in Chicago at my restaurant. I don't have any desire to stay here, get out of here as quick as I can, because it's going to, today's Friday, and it's going to be a madhouse tonight and tomorrow, believe me.
Can you imagine, Johnny, we walked around with Mike Ditka here in Champaign-Urbana for a day. Can you imagine walking around with Mike Ditka at the Super Bowl? Would he walk, the over-under on how many steps you could walk without being stopped would be 3.
Let's go, it'll be fun.
The amazing thing is the number of people who want to take a picture. I mean, I'm amazed at that. Pictures, and I mean, the autographs thing, they got a lot of security around so people can stop people because you can't, you know, if you start signing.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Which I do, it's hard to get away from people, you know, because, and I tell them, well, if I sign one, do I have to sign the rest? I said, I can't do it.
Yeah.
Well, Steve, we're talking about walking through the general population. He's among football fans over there.
Yeah, no,
it's got to be twice
and,
as bad.
And Mike, they want pictures with you because you look like a movie star still.
Oh, I mean, yeah. Well,
come on,
I didn't go that far.
Come on.
But it's pretty interesting. I mean, first of all, our hotel here. This is evidently the biggest JW Marriott in the world. It's pretty big. It's a beautiful hotel actually, and the lobby downstairs is just packed. People and media, and I mean, my God, when you get off the elevator, you know, you got, like, I turn around today, I bumped into Rex Ryan, and we talked for a while.
That's,
you know,
wild.
Everybody's there. Anybody is here.
It's just a remarkable phenomenon, and I know that, again, you've got guys to help you get through the lobby, otherwise I don't think you ever would. It's just off the charts amazing. Mike Ditka, Brother Johnny, 744. All right, good news. for President Barack Obama this morning. Just announced moments ago, we've added 243,000 new jobs. The unemployment rate is now 8.3.
Well, that's a surprise because they had some bad news on the projected economy yesterday. But
do we trust these?
If that's what happened, it's good. It's great. And why it happened, I don't know. And I really don't care as long as it happens. As long as we drive this economy and make it better and get people to work. And I think that's good. But that doesn't stop the problem. The problem is big government, spending, overspending. Trying to be involved in each aspect of our society. And that's wrong. Government is not supposed to be involved in those things. So that's not going to stop. The thing right now, the problem is the deficit. There's no question about that. So we heard all the speeches when he took office about what Bush had run up. Now, they've run up three times as much. And they're talking about, you're ransoming your children's future or your grandchildren's future. And you are. I mean, that's the biggest problem. Unless we get a control of spending and we get rid of some of these bureaucracies in Washington, we are going to have, it's not going to be any better. The unemployment picture might be better, but the government, the running of the government, is not going to be any better.
Well, and the question is, are they counting government jobs? Because that adds to the deficit, because we have to get the money out of the private economy to pay for those jobs. And so how much do you count them? Maybe for a half a job, because it's a job, but that's not going to fuel the economy. That's going to cost the economy.
Absolutely.
And you hope that nothing can be manipulated, but certainly there's suspicions in this election year if you can trust numbers like this. But on the surface, 8.3 is positive, might make people feel better. Confidence is huge in something like this. And so according to the jobs report this morning, it's very positive. Now, the latest Rasmussen, I think Rasmussen is one of the best polling groups. They have these mock elections all the time. Obama, 45%. Romney, 45%. It could be close in the fall. It's going to be hard to beat the incumbent. Does the Donald Trump endorsement, Mike and Johnny, mean anything to Mitt Romney at this point?
I'm sure there's a segment of our society, John would agree, that probably puts some credibility in what Trump says. I don't.
I think that there are people that are interested. What it means, Steve, is there's a 50% chance that Donald Trump will vote for him. That's what that means.
that's pretty funny. When he said he's going to endorse him, and then the rumors are going back and forth yesterday, Donald's endorsing Newt. I said, there's no way he would endorse anybody that wouldn't be in the lead right now. So he's going to be a popular. He's going to go with Romney at this one. And it looks like Mitt Romney is it looks inevitable to me, Johnny.
I'd say it looks good. I'm going to tell you, you're going to see Newt surge again. He's going to hang around because he knows the system. Now, the next few elections, it's going to look like Romney because he's going to Nevada. Mike, there must be 35% Mormon population. I think he won it last time.
In Nevada?
Then he goes to Michigan where his dad was the governor, and I think he's looking strong there. But then you've got those southern states. I think you got to wait, I think, now till Super Tuesday to be sure, because Gingrich will do much better in the South, and of course his state, Georgia, is in that mix of the 10 states. So I think you'll see one more kind of a ripple or fight, and then we'll know for sure. And then if Santorum and Gingrich and Paul all want to go all the way to the convention, you know something, Mike? I don't think Romney can get the majority of delegates. So then they got to go through that. But I don't think that'll happen. So we'll have to see what these other guys do.
Well, I think the only thing I really hope that the people quit attacking each other, the candidates quit attacking each other, and attack the policies of the country right now that are wrong, that they disagree with, and start saying where they would change and how they would change instead of attacking each other. I find that childish.
All right.
Well, I think you're right. I think that there's plenty to talk about without going after some of the at the level they're going after each other.
Absolutely.
And that does kind of just, I don't think it hurts them in the long run because people just forget about it. But I think it hurts them in the moment, and that's where you have a chance to make an impact. And
absolutely.
They're squandering that by just really catfighting is what it amounts to. So no question, but it's got a long way to go. But Romney is definitely, I like him. I'm kind of with Mike on not being so sure he can beat Obama, and also I don't know how much he'll change, Mike. Like you say, to change things, it takes more than talking.
Yeah, I'm worried that politicians have become just that, politicians. They're not anymore the service of the people, or the job. The office should be an office of service, not an office of the party, or an office of gain, or an office of special interest or longevity. You know, you're in there to serve the people who elect you. And I just worry sometimes that our politicians don't look at it that way. You know, they look at it, and you're right. You know, we talked about term limits on this show, and there should be term limits. Nobody should be able to go to Washington and pitch a tent and stay there for 30 years.
Mike Ditka, Brother Johnny, a few more minutes, 93.5, 95.3, Connect FM. Word comes from the Pentagon yesterday that Israel might strike Iran as early as spring. Now, again, why that information comes out, is it to allow TV crews to set up? I don't understand. And if they do, what happens? Because that could really set it off in the Middle East, Johnny.
Well, I think it's going to happen if Iran is really making progress on their nuclear weapons, because Israel considers that a survival deal. That would be what, remember the movie Asteroid and Ellie, an extinction-level event. As far as Israel's concerned, they're not going to let it happen. But what would do, it would set things off. It depends on how that attack went. I mean, Mike, if they took out a few facilities and then just set the program back, I don't know. I mean, everybody would be yelling and screaming, but I don't know if there'd be any kind of a Middle Eastern war, or else maybe you'll have a meltdown. But I don't doubt that Israel's watching it as close as they can, and they're not going to wait on us to do anything or sanctions to work. I can tell you that.
You know, you don't want to mess around with Israel right now, and I don't know what it would trigger in the Middle East. It could trigger a lot of problems, but how many more problems could you trigger than what they have now? Honestly,
that's,
I mean, they've got rebellions, they've got murders, they've got killing, upheavals. I mean, they got everything in the world going over there. Protests here, there, there, this, that, and they're talking about a nuclear weapon. And I think, I do think that Iran rattles the sabers a little bit. I really do. I think they talk a better game than they play.
Well, and of course, the Armageddon scenario is that an attack on Iran by Israel unites the Middle East against Israel. Then you got a problem.
Yeah.
But if they can unite over anything at all, I'll be surprised right now.
Yeah, exactly. That would be a big point.
And I don't think Israel's too confident in our support right now. Why is that?
Well, because we're not very strong in our support right now.
Well, and, I think you got to look at the executive branch when you talk about that, and you got to talk about the background of the individual and a lot of other things. I mean, it's he hasn't been really shown that he's pro-Israel, believe me.
Mm. Well, he didn't stand up when there was protests in Iran. We kind of laid low, and then he's kind of, I won't say pandered, but certainly been sympathetic and empathetic to the Palestinians. And not shown that kind of maybe as biased support. I think he's trying to mediate it in his mind, but if I'm an Israeli, I'm not very happy with his support.
Yeah, well, you're trying to push the borders back to what it was before the conflict. I mean, that's not going to happen. You know that.
Right. No. Right.
And that's what they're trying to do in Palestine.
Final segment, final question. I'm not a big Madonna fan, but I'll be watching the halftime because it's such a spectacle. I mean, people are worried Madonna's going to keep it clean, Johnny. I don't know. Halftime at Super Bowl is a big deal now.
Well, you know, it's a big deal. I'll tell you, the halftime show at the Saints Indianapolis game, when the Who came out there and sang Pinball Wizard, Stevie, I knew we had it. And so maybe she'll give us a hint on who's going to win the game somehow. Oh, she'll be fine. She'll be fine. I'm sure it's going to be a big show.
Yeah, Mike, Madonna, I can't say I've ever even seen her perform, even a YouTube video. I'm just not a big fan, but she'll be good, I'm sure.
Yeah, I'm sure she will be. I'm not a big fan, but I'm sure she will be, and I think somebody asked me about it yesterday, and I said, well, I wish I'd bring Sinatra back.
Yeah. Well,
bring
your
guy from the restaurant, Mike. Put your guy from the restaurant up there.
Listen, my guy from the restaurant's pretty daggone good.
Yeah, he is.
He's great. Doing a lot of things
now.
Frank Sinatra,
one on the West Coast. He's becoming famous. He's going to become too famous for me and leave me yet, man.
But Stevie, back to Madonna now.
Yeah.
She's no spring chicken.
No, she's like 52, isn't she?
Oh, I didn't know if she was that old. Wow.
Yeah, you know, she's about my age. I mean, she's...
Boy, time flies when you're having fun, guys.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty remarkable. And Mick Jagger, I still am shaken by how good he looked and all the miles on that tread. That's amazing.
I don't know how he does it. I mean, is he 70, for crying out loud?
Mick Jagger's got to be...
At least my age, at least.
And listen, he just keeps going. I want to lay down sometimes. That's a lot of energy.
I tell you, how's your body after the Marine mutter that you survived last weekend? Johnny, you feeling better?
I'm feeling better, Steve. That Mike, I tell you something, you'd be proud of me. I left it all out there, I can tell you that. I'm just getting back.
I'm telling you, Johnny, you'd been a Mike Ditka kind of football player, I guarantee you. I mean, Mike would have loved your style of play.
I'd have loved playing for a guy like him. Well, I think I needed to be, you know, just a little bigger, a little... Faster,
yeah, but
quicker,
Mike, he was a 115%er that caught every pass near him and never dogged it in practice once. That kind of guy. So you'd love that.
Hey, those guys can play for me. I find a place for people like that all the time.
Hey, listen, guys, thanks a bunch. Mike, have fun in Indy. Look forward to, I know you're looking forward to getting to the restaurant to watch the ballgame soon.
Listen, guys, on Monday, I got to go to the hospital Monday morning, so we're going to try to work this out, but you might give me a call.
Yep.
Sunday night.
I'll give you a call. We'll work it all out. Thank you. Brother Johnny from Houston, Mike from the Super Bowl. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thanks a lot, Stevie. Thanks, Mike.
Talk to you later.
All right,
guys.
Take care.
93.5, 95.3, Connect FM. Only in this spot twice a week do we get to do this.
That's right.
He's not doing that anywhere else. And we get it here on the radio in Champaign-Urbana. We're thrilled and appreciative.
Mm-hmm.
7:56. Fox News just ahead, 93.5, 95.3, Connect FM, Super Bowl weekend.